Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this man here is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
My name is Marek Larwood.
Yes.
I am a man.
Correct. And never forget that. Never let anyone tell you otherwise.
And gradually, throughout this podcast, you'll find about more about me.
It's true. You've got over 250 episodes to try and sift through the silt to find that Marek gold.
Sift through the silt. Would you like to have been a gold digger?
A gold digger? What, as in seduced old rich men?
Yeah.
No, I think I'm all right doing this.
A gold, what are they called then?
A prospector.
Yeah.
An old prospector.
Would you like to have been one?
In the gold rush, it'd be quite good, wouldn't it, if you found some, and then you know, you dig it up quickly before everyone else comes.
What do you think you'd say if you saw a big gold nugget in your dish?
In my dish?
Yeah.
I'd say, oh, car blabber, I got me some gold! And then I'd jump up and down in my long johns that I'm apparently wearing to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simpler times.
Simpler times. This is Film Fandango. We're going to be talking about films once more. Once again. Now, I went to the cinema this week to see Fantastic Beasts.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Where to find them.
Yes.
The Harry Potter spin-off starring beautiful gecko Eddie Redmayne. And it was sold out.
So, what cinema?
At the Pitch House Central, to be fair.
What day?
On a Monday.
Maybe.
Which I think they have.
They do.
£10 tickets on Monday.
They have the cheaper member tickets on Monday.
So I went down the road to the Odeon.
Yeah.
Sold out, mate. Couldn't get in. So I went down the road to the pub and got drunk instead.
Was it on there?
It wasn't on there, but I imagined what it would be like.
Fantastic beers and where to find them.
That's right. That's a t-shirt.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll sell four or five of those online if you made those. Well, Fantastic beers.
That could be a new career.
Yeah. So instead I watched a film online the following morning. The BFG, which is one that I wanted to see because I read the book when I was a kid and have very, very fond memories of the David Jason cartoon from the 80s, I think.
Yeah.
So this is Steven Spielberg's effort, CGI effort, to do the BFG justice, and it stars Mark Rylance as the BFG.
Did he actually do anything, this Mark Rylance?
Yeah, he is fantastic. I know your criticism that Mark Rylance doesn't move his face in TV dramas. He is a cut above everyone else in it.
Really?
And he's acting through motion capture as well. Like, he is brilliant. Like, he's just sound... He doesn't sound like... He doesn't look like he's acting. He just look... But he's incredibly likeable. And the BFG's dialogue is all, you know, frog scuttle and diddly plops. And he just... It's all believable, and there's such a vulnerability and a kindness to the character that he just captures brilliantly. He's excellent. He's excellent.
Is it the same as the book, or is it dramatized?
It's almost identical to the 80s cartoon, certainly. And Sophie, the little girl, she's fairly good. It's weird. She's more charming when she's got a northern accent, which comes and goes. It goes between an actual, what sounds to me like a genuine northern accent, and then a stage school like all other RP girls speak.
Is it because she's hanging around with posh people and she has to change her, you know, when people speak posher when you're around?
I don't think so. I just think it's sort of, she didn't quite have command of it. She's still young, it's not her fault.
Well, it is really.
And Jermaine Clement plays the meanest of the giants.
Is he good as a bad guy?
He's all right, actually. He's okay. He's doing a Cockney accent, which is slightly on. But I actually had to look it up to go, as soon as he started speaking, I was like, is that Idris Elba again doing his bad voice acting? No, but it wasn't. No. It was Jermaine Clement.
This was quite well received, wasn't it, earlier on there?
Yeah, it was. And it's, you know, it's very charming. I'd have to rewatch the 80s one because I still think it's probably better. But Mark Rylance is actually wonderful.
Were you scared at any point?
No. It's a kid's film, you know.
But do you get some kids' films are quite scary?
Some of them are. I remember it being creepy, the bit where Sophie at the orphanage first sees the BFG skulking around the streets at about 3 a.m. in his big dark cloak. And I remember the nightmares being actually quite nightmarish, and that wasn't the case in this version.
Mm.
But really, they should just overdub Mark Rylance's performance over the top of the David Jason one. Get the best of both worlds.
Oh, really?
Well, I still don't find the hyper-glossy CGI look of modern movies of this kind.
You can see it's Mark Rylance's face, then, can you? Is it a version of his face?
Yeah, it's a version of his face, and it's a very, you know, versatile motion cap performance, but you know, it's very clean, obviously. But no, it looks like it World of Warcraft, you know, it's the exact same shiny look that they all go for these days. And you know, yeah, the BFG could turn up in the next Warcraft film, and you'd go, yeah, that fits.
What sort of dream would you like to have blown into your ear?
Oh, it's into your mouth, actually. He blows them into your mouth.
Really?
Yeah, he blows them right into your mouth with his big old trumpet.
What if you sleep with your mouth closed?
Well, the dream sort of flies around your face and then you go...
Oh,
you know, like spiders get in. You know how that statistic that every night you eat up to 28 spiders?
Yeah.
It's 28 spiders a night, I think. It's like that. They just sort of work their way in, you know. Past your teeth.
On the back of the spiders?
That's right.
It's not related to the spiders?
It's not related to the spiders, no.
Sounds like more goes into my mouth during night time than it does during the day.
Well, I can't possibly comment on that. But if the BFG's outside your window, quite possibly.
Do you have nightmares? Did you answer my question?
What was your question?
What dream would you like the BFG to blow into your mouth?
Oh, maybe a dream about... being a racing car driver, something like that would be quite fun.
So, does he blow in... The bad guys blowing the bad dreams, then?
No, the bad guys are just lazy cannibals who eat human beings.
So he blows in the bad dreams as well?
No, he captures the bad dreams and locks them up so they can't find their way into children's heads.
What about Saucy Dream?
Saucy Dreams are not covered in the BFG. Maybe in the sequel, when Sophie's grown up a bit and he can show her his secret stash.
He'd be really disappointed, thinking he's a really sweet man. Hang on, BFG, what's this?
No, Sophie, don't touch that. No, those are my wet dreams.
What's this?
My puddle-unctuous wet dreams. That's what he'd say.
And he realised he's an old pervert. Hard old pervert with a back room full of dirty old dreams.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Oh, God. And that's what's happening in the sequel, right?
That's it. It's the BFG.
The VBFG.
It's for very.
Yeah.
Is that's how you do the sequel? Then VV.
Yeah.
VV, yeah.
Sounds quite Roman.
Yeah. Like, I enjoyed it. I think it's all right. I'd be interested to see if kids go for it, because I can see they really would. There's only occasional... tedious CGI set pieces that they tend to do, with people going whoa, whoa, which seems to be in all CGI kids films.
Is it
a
3D film?
I think it probably was. There's a couple of shots that suggest it may have been, because it's always, so easy to do with CGI 3D, because you can just tell the computer to work it out for itself.
You always, when you watch it later on, it's only watching films in 2D, there's a really pointless scene. You think, what was it? Oh,
yeah,
this is just 3D.
Yeah, really. The one where they're skateboarding on cars. Yeah, there we go. This is the 3D bit. And there's some slightly boring fart jokes, but I think they're in the original book. So, no, but it's Mark Rylance. Maybe they should CGI his characters for those TV shows, because he'd be better at it.
Yeah, better at CGI. He's a CGI bloke.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. But how many Davies do you give it?
I think I'll give it 7. I think it's a good old film. Brought back good memories, you know. It's a good story. That's the thing. It is the heart of it.
It'll be on at Christmas this time next year.
Good language in it, you know. Yeah. It reminds me of the first 10 minutes of Fellowship of the Ring, when they're still using the Tolkien words, and then when it just turns into pap. worth a look. Right, well, I think it's time for this. Some people are writing
letters that we like reading them out. This is from Charlie Hurley. Subject, Richard Jenkins. I recently endured the film Friends with Benefits whilst on holiday. The film is forgettable, but the performance of Richard Jenkins as a man with dementia is superb and made me keep watching. It led me to the film The Visitor. The film is beautiful and sensitive to his subject matter. Reviewers using the term nuanced performance is a bit of a cliche, but in this film Richard Jenkins gives exactly that. As character actors, I think he can give anyone a run for their money. If you haven't watched this, then you definitely should. From Charlie Hurley. The Visitor. That sounds familiar, The Visitor.
The Visitor. Well, Richard Jenkins is in Cabin in the Woods. You may know him from.
He doesn't really play leads very often, does he?
No, but he's very good in stuff, I think. But playing a man with dementia, that's interesting. Well, Friends with Benefits is about two people fucking, isn't it? I mean, it came out at the same time as that other film that about the exact same thing. So one of them had Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis, and one of them had Natalie Portman and a piece of toast, was it?
I think
it was a piece of toast. But I didn't have any interest in watching either of them. No, but Richard Jenkins is funny. He's in Step Brothers, which I love. He's the dad in Step Brothers who has to deal with this 40-year-old man-child in his house.
He's one of those people who is instantly familiar from his face, but you wouldn't ever know his name.
Yeah.
I've seen The Visitor, which is a... I just looked it up on my IMDb, which is a college professor. He travels to New York to go to this conference, and he's got a sort of second home, and he finds a young sort of... homeless couple of an immigrant couple living in his flat who've been renting it out by some dodgy person.
Oh, okay.
I gave it 4 Marricks.
Did you? Oh, that's a shame.
It's got a 7.9 Metascore, but I didn't really particularly enjoy it. But I seem to remember him being quite good in it.
He was Oscar nommed for it.
Was he?
Yeah, that's what the trivia says.
Well done, Richard Jenkins.
I've never heard his name before. You're absolutely right. He's one of those people who's very familiar, but his name has never been spoken in my company before.
It's even the name. He's not trying to court publicity.
If you were called Richard Jenkins, what would you change your name to?
Marek Larwood.
That's a far better name, isn't it? I mean, it's done you well.
Well, actually, it hasn't. let's move on to our next letter.
Yes.
And he's back!
Who?
Second superfan, Martin Appleyard.
Martin Appleyard?
Welcome back, Martin Appleyard. And he's written a really big one.
Oh, good. Do you want to sound off this big one, or shall I?
You do the big one.
Okay. Hello, David Marek, buddy, and your greatest bloody superfan ever, Chris Webb. That's a gracious in defeat, isn't he? Always gracious.
Past listeners, or regular listeners, will realise that there was a big, earlier on this year... the most interest ever drawn to a Facebook post by Phil Fandango.
A vote, turns out.
Between Chris Webb and Martin Appleyard for the Superfan, which Chris Webb narrowly won. And this is the first time we've heard from Martin Appleyard since.
Yes, that's right. Sorry, I'm sitting in a wicker chair. He says, I've recently been catching up on some of Phil Fandango's greatest hits and wanted to share my thoughts with you. All This Mayhem, brilliant documentary. Whilst watching this, I was constantly thinking, why have I not heard this story before? I have to disagree with David, though. It's not just Tony Hawk's who comes across as a complete dick in this film. They all do.
That's the skateboarding.
Skateboarding film. Very, I imagine if good. You had to be in a room with these people, it wouldn't be long before punches had to be thrown. Fair enough I mean, point,
got
I think.
A good point there.
Yeah. Kenjaki. For promotional purposes, it's a terrible name for a film. Another extraordinary two-story, but spoilt for me because I really struggled to understand the mumbling dialogue throughout. It really started to irritate me. So much so, I think I lost all the tension in the film. Also called Kilo 2 Bravo in America because of the exact reason that Kenjaki is the hard film to sell. There was some mumble problems in that film because they have, I think, a lot of rather realistic regional British accents of squaddies. They don't enunciate squaddies very well.
I didn't notice it. I thought it was a great film.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it, but I did really have to focus to hear what was going on. Blue is the warmest colour. I love the pace and the rhythm of this film. It is so different to how any Hollywood film is made. Story, characters and emotions are given time to develop and mature, and as a viewer you feel like you're being rewarded for your patience. Not one to show your grand, though.
Brilliant.
And Beastmaster, it's cack. Well, thanks very much. You're wrong. Still on the list to see, World's Greatest Dad and Dear Zachary, A Letter to a Son About His Father. A couple of recommendations for you also. One on streaming services and one in the cinema. Just how you like it. On streaming, Barclay Marathons. The race that eats its young. It's about a Michael Eavis-type nutter who organises an impossible race each year through the mountains in Tennessee. It's full of eccentric characters from all over the world who come and pay the entry fee, $1.26, a hubcap and a shirt, and then try to kill themselves trying to finish a race that only 10 people have completed in 25 years.
Wow.
It's really good. At the cinema, Train to Busan, a Korean film that starts off as a small family drama about a dad taking his daughter to see her mother on her birthday and then goes batshit crazy when there is a zombie-infected outbreak in the city. It's like 28 Days Later meets an old-school 1970s airport disaster movie. It's brilliant. Watch it now with subtitles or wait for the piss-poor Hollywood remake in a couple of years starring Matt Damon. Keep watching the films. P.S. I've still not replied to Chris Webb's friend request. Okay, thank you, Martin. Yeah, well, going through the back catalogue of films we've talked about, it's a trip down memory lane for us too. I mean, I can barely remember anything we've seen.
No, I instantly forget everything I've said.
Yeah, no, quite right too. I mean, it's of no value.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I should stop speaking in the first place.
Indefinitely, really.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Moving to the country and just don't speak to anyone.
Like a hermit. A hermit. You'd suit hermit, don't you?
Actually, that's what I desire. Aspire to.
Okay.
Desire and aspire.
Fair enough. And perspire.
And perspire.
So, have you seen a film this week?
Yes. I've watched... The reason I watched this film is because... I mean, this is way known that may have... be familiar with 2016's literally seen my acting career just disappear.
And that's one of the worst things that's happened in 2016.
One of the worst things is that I literally no work. So I am currently, for extra money, chopping down trees with my little brother, who's a tree surgeon who works on rich people's estates in the south of England.
Well, they've got trees to cut down, don't they?
Yeah, so we work in the millionaire's estate with this. He's got this huge forest, and he'd take all the hazel out of it.
Yeah.
So
why? What's his problem with hazel?
Well, it overruns the whole. It's really bad for the wildlife. It doesn't have all the lighting. You see, these trees just grow and grow.
It drowns out the light for everything else.
They need to be sort of kept. And this has been left for like 25 years, 30 years. It's in a real state.
So do you get to keep the trees?
No, we burn them on the fire. So I'm the person who lifts up logs and puts them onto the fire.
Yeah.
And I forgot my hat last week, and I did receive a huge number of burns to my bald pate. Anyway, okay. The backstory, the reason I'm telling you this story is that I'm going to stay with my little brother in a sort of shack that he lives in his farmer's place.
A cabin in the woods?
A bit like that. And he doesn't have good enough internet reception there. And the TV's there, he's only just got the TV put in.
Right.
So I go round, which I've done before this podcast today, second-hand shops, and buy some DVDs I haven't seen.
Are they still selling? So are secondhand shops still regularly putting DVDs up? Because the VHS have disappeared, haven't they?
Well, it's just DVDs. So I live in Muswell Hill. So I'm basically going to do this work so I can pay the money.
I think you've got this backwards.
Yeah.
You're supposed to live somewhere cheap and then earn your money in the expensive place.
Yeah. They're about £2, £2.25 for a DVD.
Quite a lot, isn't it, actually, these days?
Yeah. But so I just gambled on a few, and I normally bring three or four for the 4 days we're there.
Yeah.
And one of them I bought was called, it's a French film called L'Homme du Train, Man on the Train, which is released in 2002.
L'Homme du Train.
L'Homme du Train.
The Man on the Train. Is it like The Girl on the Train? Is it a sequel?
Nothing like The Girl on the Train.
Okay.
It stars...
How did you find this? You just on...
It
just
was just there
shops.
And I thought, do you know what?
Which part of L'Homme du Train caught your eye? Was it trains?
Or? I looked at the back, see if it's been awarded for any... Look at the awards.
Okay.
And then I thought I'd try that, because I've seen most of the films that are there, and I wanted something I hadn't seen.
It's quite a good way of having non-curated content, isn't it? Just completely random selection.
And I like the French films. Oh, I must say quickly, I watched A Town Called Panic, which someone recommended, a kids' film.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a stop-motion thing. I watched that with my little brother as well. That is incredible. You should watch that, yeah. But anyway, we'll talk about that in another movie. Man on the Train. It's an odd thing. It's a remote village in France. You join this sort of ropey-looking older criminal, or old man, I didn't realise he's a criminal, on a train. He's got a headache, and he's going to this town to commit, in the middle of nowhere, to commit a bank robbery. That's his job, he's a bank robber, an ageing bank robber. And he bumps into another old man, played by... the first man is played by Johnny Halliday. Have you ever heard of Johnny Halliday?
No.
He is massive in France. He's called the French Elvis. And he's known as the most famous person in France that you would never... No one outside France has heard of him.
Johnny Halliday.
A huge singer in France. A massive cult figure out there. And no one outside of France has heard of him. So he plays the lead in this. And he bumps into an old man. And all the hotels are closed.
Right.
And this old man invites... And he can't get any paracetamol. So this old man invites him back to his house to have some paracetamol. And then the other man, the bank robber man, leaves and finds that I know how hotel's available. So he goes back to this old man's house, asks if he can stay there, and they develop this friendship. And the old man's played by Jean Rochefort, who you would recognise from films like Tell No One. He's a go-to French old man. He's probably the most French-looking.
He is.
Person.
He looks like a really old Antoine de Caunes.
Yeah, they're the two most French people you could possibly have in a film.
Johnny Halliday looks like France through LA. I mean, look at that.
He's a lot of plastic surgery now.
Yeah,
and he's just become.
Has he had his eyes reduced?
Yeah, there's something. There's like something
he's got
I think
tiny
he's
eyes.
Had his bag removed from his eyes, so he looks very, very odd.
Very bizarre.
This film, the script. In this film is brilliant. I laughed out loud, particularly at Jean Rochefort's character and the things he said, because he's an old man and he's been an English teacher in the school, and he's got an operation that's coming up and he regrets his life. And the main story is they both realise that they now want each other's life. Jean Rochefort wants the drama of being a bank robber. The bank robber wants to settle down and live in a nice house where, in a quiet town where there's no hassle or stress. It sounds boring on paper, but this film is brilliant. The two, they're perfectly cast, these two. The performances are really believable. The script is really funny. I think it was one of those films that is a really great surprise. I mean, I would never have seen this film unless I picked up this DVD.
No, of course. When's it from?
2002.
Oh, right. So it's fairly recent.
Yeah.
Ish.
And it won a few awards. It actually did really well in America. They sold over there, and it got remade with Donald Sutherland and Larry, Larry Jr. Who, I can't remember. Larry Mullen Jr. But I thoroughly recommend, if you want a perfect Sunday night, feel good, off kilter, French drama. The pace is quite slow and quite amusing. It's got a real nice feel, especially if it's sort of set in the late sort of autumn time, winter time. So it's quite good for now. It has that nice to watch films that are quite dreary and cold. Watch this. It really surprised me, and it really pleased me as well. It's one of my secret finds of the year. I give it 9 Marex.
9 Marex, but L'homme sur le train.
L'homme du train.
Oh, du train. The man of the train.
No, man on a train.
Is de on? I don't speak French.
Yeah, I think, yeah. The okay. L'homme, the man
L'homme.
On the train. De train. The man on the train.
Jean Rochefort has an incredible face, doesn't he?
I just think.
Well, there you go. Where can people track it down apart from in that charity shop where it no longer
go
is?
Go to a charity shop where rich people live.
Yeah.
I've got a copy of it on DVD, so you can write to me and you can buy it off me for what. I might keep it, actually. It's be on the internet somewhere. Yeah. Buy it on the internet. £2.50.
All right. Cool. The man on the train.
And it's only an hour and a half long, so it doesn't really feel like it over.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I do judge films now based on length, where I just go, 2 hours 15, you're not even trying. You can do it in less than that. Come on.
Well, that's why we watched it. We've been working all day, and then we thought, oh, we want to go to bed at 10, so we've got to be up at 6 to go to this rich person's estate.
Yeah.
What can we watch? This one's an hour and 53 minutes. Oh, we need that. We really want the extra 20 minutes in bed. We'll watch L'Homme du Train. Really good.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to write to us, then please go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form there, and we will read your letter out on the show. Please do recommend any films you've seen that you'd like to share with everybody else, anything we've not talked about yet. Also, we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to donate towards Film Fandango, then please go to our website, filmfandango.com, and click the donate button. Everyone who has, thank you very
much. Yes, and it really helps pay for the cost of putting it online and going to cinema and all that business.
Well, cinema in London.
And a toilet roll I use when I come round here.
Endless use of toilet roll. It's about 1.5 tubes.
And the meat you have to put down to distract Buddy from someone from attacking me.
Constant meat.
I had to give Buddy 3 steaks per episode.
And then you help yourself to some of the steaks, and that just doesn't help with the toilet roll situation.
I don't know what's happened to this podcast. Well, I've got to go, because I've got to go off to the bloody woods.
All right, well, Marek's on his way off to the woods. But hopefully he'll survive. It won't fall into a bonfire or something.
Yeah.
Get attacked by a bear. Or be kidnapped into some posh bloke's sort of sex ritual. That happens out in the country, doesn't it, I hear?
Yeah, probably loads, actually.
Mostly. I mean, there's nothing else to do, is there? They can't go to Miss Saigon, so they're going to have sex parties.
Only so many potches you can shoot.
Before you get so bored you just want to turn the gun on yourself.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, on that note, we'll be back next week. Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.